They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Shu Bartholomew. On The Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and on The Commons with me is my favorite activist, a fellow activist of all time, and that's Jan Bergman. Jan, thank you so much for joining us on The Commons today to talk about what's happening in Florida. And there's a heck of a lot going on in Florida right now, isn't there?
Yes, sure. Sure. Thanks for having me. And there is plenty going on here, and more than a lot of people would like.
More than a lot of people would like, huh?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the foreclosure wave is sweeping over Florida. Associations are bankrupt. Owners are bankrupt. Owners can't pay their dues. And then we have a legislators who kind of tend to still listen to the special interests who caused all the problems.
Special interests do cause all the problems. You're right. And we can talk about them if you like, and we probably will as we go on. But it's the legislative session right now, and when I was down in Florida when you had the meeting, the homeowners meeting in February, we heard from a lot of people who came, and Representative Julio Urbina had just embarked on a five-week trip around the state to talk to different people and to hear from different people who are having problems in their condos. Now, I've talked to Julio. He's going to come on afterwards in May or June, so we'll hear from him exactly what happened at those meetings. But he's busy writing legislation, and I know that there's some good stuff coming down, right, and some not-so-good stuff?
Well, let's talk about the good stuff first, you know, then we can talk about the ugly stuff.
Okay.
First of all, Florida's condo owners really have to thank State Representative Julio Urbina. He did an excellent job against the resistance of many folks from the special interest groups. He worked hard, he worked into late nights, and came up with a bill that passed the House last week with a vote of 110-0. Zero. Nobody against it.
Nobody dared open a mouth, right?
No, it was a great bill, and it will definitely help because it will add quite a bit to the enforcement, because he saw during the select committee meetings that enforcement is the number one priority. Because the best bills don't help you if you can't enforce them.
That's true.
And so we now have a provision that in order to inspect records, if the owner demands two times to inspect public records, according to Florida Statute 718, by certified mail, and the association is not responding, the DBPR, the agency regulating condos here in Florida, has to subpoena these records. They can't say, oh, no, and whatever. They shall. Shall means they have to, period.
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the big problems we have here in Florida is that we have a regulating agency, but the people in charge of this agency plainly refuse to do their job. It's absolutely disgusting.
That's been one of your big problems all along, hasn't it?
Yes, it is, and we see it day for day for day. These people get paid from condo owners' money, and then they plainly refuse to do what they're supposed to do. Whoever complains, condo owners, whatever, these people try real hard to find an excuse for the violations of the board, the managers, and the attorneys. They write 10 letters excusing the violations instead of writing one letter saying, you did wrong, don't do it again, period.
Why is that?
Well, I think they are heavily influenced. They're sitting there since years. You know, I call them the rhinos who are sitting there since forever.
Rhinos.
And, you know, they are just used to it. And don't forget, the specialized attorneys go in and out of their offices. You know, the managers even brag, let me handle the complaint. Right. I have good connections to them.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they give it to the people in writing. What does it mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I've seen it happen time and again. The industry will go in and say, here, let us help you. We know, we have the connections, we have the knowledge, we have the ability, and let us do it for you. And of course, you know, once it gets in their laps, it's not going anywhere.
Well, you know, the thing is, we in Florida, we see a change of secretaries of the DVPR, that's the government agencies regulating condos, once a year. You know, the life expectancy of a secretary of the DBPR is between 12 and 15 months. Then they get exchanged. But the problem is the same people who are doing the actual damage are still sitting there. So it is our plan, and we are very serious about it. We wait for the new secretary to be appointed, because it will most likely be a state legislator, after the session, which lasts another 10 days here in Florida. We will try to have a meeting with the new secretary. We will make our demands to make the necessary changes in that division. And if this is not the way he or she wants to work it, then we file a lawsuit against the division. We're sick and tired of it. We have collected the money necessary to file the lawsuit and to go on with the lawsuit. We have two very good attorneys who will help us. Okay.
Well, sorry, we just got cut off there again with the phone lines. Don't know what's happening here, but there's a gremlin in our phone lines here at this WBR Studios. Jan, you were saying you're going to file a lawsuit against the Secretary
of the... Yes, we're going to file a lawsuit against the Department of Business and Professional Regulation for failure to do their job. We have two very good attorneys who will represent our interests, and we have collected the money necessary to go ahead, and we will. It is absolutely necessary to protect the interests of our condo owners here in Florida.
That's a first, Jan. I've never heard of anybody actually suing the government for not doing their job, but congratulations, I think that's a great idea.
Well, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And here in Florida, we have desperate times. You know, if you open your newspaper daily, you will find nothing else but notices about foreclosures, foreclosures, foreclosures. Associations are going bankrupt. Owners are going bankrupt. People can't pay their bills anymore. And, you know, the whole system just shows it is absolutely not working for the owners. It is disgusting. It is not even funny anymore. You know, sometimes we make jokes about it. Families are losing their homes, and not just a few, by the bunches.
Well, yeah, it's huge right now. And I think what we're seeing is the domino effect, because my focus, as you know, is more national, and I hear from around the country from people who say, you know, we're being assessed a special assessment to cover the fees that other people, you know, my fellow owners cannot pay, or who've been foreclosed on by the banks or by the association, or we're being assessed huge sums to cover cover costs that were not planned for adequately, and it just goes from bad to worse.
It is daily. I get daily calls. We had today in the Miami Herald a huge article about the problems these associations are facing, because they just don't get the money necessary to pay the bills. And the few, what you would call the good guys, who are still able to and willing to pay their bills, have to pay double and triple just in order to cover it. You know, don't forget, many of these new associations, they have these so-called bulk contracts, you know, covering security, covering TV, covering internet, you name it, it's all bulk. And these contracts have to be paid. And these contracts are made with a special amount of units or homes in mind. And if suddenly only 50% of these people pay, the other 50 have to pay double as much in order to pay the bills. You know, we already have communities who can't pay the telephone bills, which are bulk, the internet bills, which are bulk anymore. So these people are suddenly sitting in a home, paying every bill, doing everything they're supposed to do, and don't have TV.
So basically, you're not saying it's not just the electricity. It's not just making sure that the streets aren't full of potholes. It's not just picking up trash, which are the basics. But we've added so many bells and whistles that have become part of the common element, basically.
Well, see, the associations actually at one time started with good intent. You know, many people paid for some expenses which are kind of considered common expenses. But then these associations took over more or less all our life. You know, if you live in one of the modern new homeowners associations, everything is there. But it doesn't leave you a choice. You know, if you want DirecTV, no deal, because you are supposed to pay for a cable company. Now that many people don't pay anymore, these people have to pay double and triple. There was last week a big article in the Orlando newspaper, even TV picked it up, where they cut off the water supply. Because they couldn't pay the thing. So the building and health department said, hey, then we have to red-tag the building because people can't live without water. You know, this is an avalanche going from bad to worse. And to be very honest, it shows the flaws of the system which we have talked about for years. You know, the CAI always comes with a big propaganda, associations, it's for carefree living and easy living, and you know, we are protecting your property values. Well, who still believes that must believe that the Brother Grimm's wrote reality shows. Honestly, it's nothing else there. Because it is so wrong, people in these associations are even under much more financial stress than the people living outside these associations, because they don't have the problem. You know, if their neighbor doesn't pay, foreclose on the home. No problem there. It doesn't affect the neighbor. In an association, if that happens, it sure affects the neighbors, because they have to suddenly pay double, triple, and then they can't pay anymore. And here we go again. It triggers an effect which nobody knows how to stop.
I want to go in two different directions here, Jan. I heard last night that 80% of our health expenditures, you know, the medicine and health care costs in this country are due to stress, not necessarily HOAs, but I wonder how much of that 80% is directly related to HOAs. I'm sure that the current situation is exacerbating that. So the cost in health care, you know, in this country has just, you know, is phenomenal. And I forgot where else I was going with that. Okay, yeah, I know where I was going with that. Is it time maybe now that we step back and look at the whole concept of HOAs and condominiums and decide whether or not this concept of communal living or forced community is viable, is going to work?
Well, it is definitely worth thinking about it. But to be very honest, you know, the system is so entrenched here in our country, it would be very, very difficult, you know, just to remove it and change the ways 180 degrees. See, you
we
have
changed
to,
the ways once, Jan. We, you know, 40 years ago we didn't have these things. It took 40 years to get from no HOAs at all to where 100% of everything that's being built today in this country is part of a mandatory membership HOA. We're not going to change the existing ones, but should we keep building something that is this flawed?
No, definitely not. See, for years it was always the argument of the industry and the service providers, hey, you don't like it, move somewhere else. Hey, no deal. Because here in Florida, you can't move anywhere else, or you have to move into a home which is 20 years old. You know, all newer homes are part of some kind of association. You name it, it's there. Some even have two associations running their lives.
Yeah.
Then you have the ones which have a CDD, a community development district, on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, it is just amazing. It's double and triple taxing,
right?
And the people don't. Yeah, we always have a good connection, but then.
Yep, we're on the air. We're back on. We had another phone cut. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I apologize, but we're back on. Let's see how far we can get again. Okay, Jan, you were talking about homeowners who are stuck in double HOAs where they have an HOA, they have an umbrella HOA, and then in Florida they're in a CDD. In other parts of the country they're called different things, but it's a third layer of government. And you're talking about double and triple taxation. We didn't go, you know, we didn't even look at the real municipal government above that. So you're talking about another fourth layer of property taxation. And then you go on to state, county taxes, federal taxes. I mean, it's just layers and layers and layers, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know, I think here in Florida we have reached finally the limit. People can't pay it anymore, period. They're out of money. They can't pay. People just leave their homes. They go somewhere else. We just had last week one of our members. He said, goodbye, I'm off to Ohio. He just left the house, which he bought last year, but he had a high mortgage on it. So he said, hey, you know, my mortgage is higher than the real value of the home nowadays, so I don't even bother selling it. I just leave it. I'm moving to Ohio and live there happily ever after. And whoever wants the house can have the house. Thank you very much.
Really?
Yeah, he just walked away. He said, it cost me $40,000 of my retirement money, but it's worth it because then I know I'm out of here and I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Is that happening a lot in Florida?
Yes.
Yes.
The Miami Herald had a big article about it. You have specifically a lot of problems where so-called flippers were involved. You know, people who got into the market for profit, who didn't want to live in these homes and condominiums, and who suddenly realized that their mortgages are higher than the actual value of the unit or the home, and they just drop it. They just stop paying, and then it takes a few months before the place is being foreclosed upon. Then before the banks takes over and things like that, it's nearly a year where the association is not getting any dues. And you know, if that happens in newer communities a lot, then you know how bad the people are off who still live there and who bought the homes and units to live in there. It's amazing what happens in some of these places, and you know, nobody is helping these people, you know, so far, even the legislature have more or less refused to acknowledge the problem. They're talking about helping against foreclosures and helping here and helping there. Yeah, but they're helping the service providers and not the people.
That's right. That's right. And they're helping the banks, and they're
helping the banks.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all of these mortgage lenders.
Yes, and they help the developers, these poor guys who are more or less overbuilt and cause big problems here. But they don't help the owners, and that is what is so annoying.
Jan, we don't learn our lesson. This happened 20 years ago. This happened the last time there was a downturn in the market. Same thing.
Yeah, but see, here you see why the system we're using here with these associations is flawed. Don't forget, you have as many homes and as many what you would call condos in Europe. Europe is not using this association system, but Europe had as well bad times for economy. You know, they had their up and downs with economy. It's not just limited to the United States. But they didn't have this problem because there is no association problem, period. You know, that's it. The system here is flawed. The system doesn't work. The system actually financially kills the owner. And that's it. There's no argument. There is proof daily in the newspapers. And everybody who tries to argue against it is wrong.
That's an interesting concept, or an interesting point that you're making. I mean, I've always said that HOAs are not good for the, you know, there's nothing good in them for the individual homeowner. It's there for the local municipal government and the developer, and of course the industry feeds off it. Like a bunch of leeches, they suck the blood out of you, and they continue to do so. But in terms of the actual individuals, the homeowners, there's nothing good in it for them at all, is there?
Not really, especially in bad times.
You've been working really hard to try and get legislation enacted in Florida to sort of counter some of the problems that we see every day, and not just the problems that we're seeing now because of the bad economy and because there's a downswing in the real estate. I mean, that's, you know, boom or bust. We go through that all the time. You also said at the top of the hour that you had, another 10 days for the legislature to go, and you told me beforehand there are two bills, one that's really good and one that's not so good. Do you want to tell us a little bit about them?
Well, we sure, it hasn't passed the Senate yet, but it looks like the condo owners will do very well in this legislative session, despite the fact, and we just talked about it, there is no protection bill in the new bill regarding liens and foreclosures. You know, that is left out again because of the special interests. But otherwise, it's a very good bill with lots of enforcement issues and so on and so on. It's really well done, and State Representative Julio Robina put his heart into it, believe me. You wouldn't believe what kind of opposition he faced and what he was told. It's amazing, you know, how far some people will go to protect their cash cow. But anyway, as much good we have to report for condo owners, as bad we have to report for homeowners and homeowners associations. As we already said before, you know, the Select House Committee on Condominium and Homeowners Association Governance traveled to Florida. They came up with good ideas. They heard what people were concerned about, and they are absolutely willing to do something about it. But, as you know, the time was short. More or less, they had their last meeting 2 days before the legislative session starts, and the legislative session lasts only 60 days here in Florida. So, since the condo bill was more or less pre-prepared and just underwent a few little changes, this committee was not able to come up with a homeowners association bill. So in the meanwhile, special interest, as usual, came up with a thrown-together bill which is ill-advised, badly worded, badly written. It's about the worst thing I've seen in 10 years of doing this. And honestly, there have been some amateurs at work, even if I know there was an attorney working on it as well, but he might consider giving back his license after seeing what he wrote in the bill. But the thing is, Representative Robina has pledged for next year to come up with a big HOA reform bill. He has pledged to sit down with all parties involved, with the members of his select committee. The condo bill formed a living study council for associations, which will come up with recommendations this year. It's only lasting half a year. And altogether, there will be a big HOA reform bill for next year. That is the promise, and so far, Representative Robina has always kept his promises. It's one of the few legislators I know who's doing that. So we will see betterment, but the betterment will not come this year. And in my opinion, it would have been necessary.
Well, we had another phone cut. Line cut. I don't know what the problem is, but I think we must have mice chewing on the lines here or something. Jan, I'm sorry, and I appreciate the fact that you're hanging in there with me. I really, really do appreciate it. Go back to the HOA bill.
Well, like I said, we will see a big HOA reform bill with all the bells and whistles next year, we can be sure. But it doesn't help the people this year, and it would have been important considering the economy, considering the problems we see in our associations. And the problems are big. They're even bigger than people want to believe. And to be very honest, we haven't seen the bottom of it. This is getting worse. This will be much worse. And to be very honest, I think it will be a big issue in November.
Jan, how many people do you think are have been adversely affected by this? I mean, not everyone in every condominium unit has lost, or condominium development has lost their homes. Not everyone in every HOA has lost their homes. Some people bought years ago, so they're not affected by the price. But how big, ultimately, is this going to be? Is this the beginning of the end?
Well, some people hope so, to be very honest, because they don't want to ever see this again. But I can't agree to that, because it's a little harsh. Even for the believers in homeowners associations. But to be very honest, I think it in the end it will affect more or less everybody who lives in an association. Because don't forget, many people fell victim to the promises of the lenders. You know, they took out these exotic mortgages, which nobody was ever able to repay, and they knew it. Every association is more or less affected. I don't think there's one association in the whole state which doesn't have some foreclosure listing or some sign for sale by foreclosure and things like that on the lots. And don't forget, here comes the downfall of the system. The system is built upon so and so many people contributing to the cost. So now if a few people don't pay, and even sometimes even more people don't pay, the others have to pick up the slack. That's, I mean, first grade mathematics. And so you will see raises of dues, special assessments to cover up for the deficit. And, you know, I get emails from people, oh, we're lucky, you know, they only raised our dues by $10 due to the, we only had a few foreclosures. But, you know, after a while, it comes back and oh, yeah, you know, but now they foreclosed on a few more because they couldn't pay the special assessment, and now we have to pay even more.
So what happens when they foreclose? Yeah, I mean, you know, they're taking a really bad situation, and it seems to me they're making it worse.
Well, see, what I absolutely don't understand is that boards still fall for the propaganda of the association attorneys who make big bucks out of foreclosure, who tell them, oh, yeah, but you don't, if you don't follow up immediately and don't foreclose on them immediately, you lose your rights. Well, people, they lose their paycheck maybe, or their income, or part of their income, but you, board members or owners, lose a lot more. Because in many cases, the lien triggers high cost for the person who already has financial problems and who is then not able to pay anything anymore. So my suggestion would be, go to the people who have financial problems, who haven't paid the last 2 months or something, and say, looky here, buddy, what's the deal? You're our neighbor. We don't want to harm you and your family. Can we find any kind of solution to remedy the situation? And they often may tell you, hey, look, we're in a real financial hole. We have serious problems, you know. Could we maybe pay $100 instead of the $150 for 3 months, and when business picks up, we can do again? Well, may sound like a bad deal for the association at the moment, but think about for the following. You get $300 for the next 3 months. Otherwise, you get nothing. Zero, zip, nada. So then the attorney forecloses, and oops, there's a big mortgage on this house, so the bank just takes back the collateral and there is nothing for the association left over. Guess what? Here comes the attorney and says, buddies, I had $5,000 in legal fees since the foreclosure didn't bring anything. You have to give me the $5,000. So now the association is not only rid of a family and they threw them out, and maybe the $300 they might have gotten if they would have talked, now they have a legal bill to pay of $5,000. And guess who pays this? The remaining neighbors. And this goes on and on and on. It is not good business.
And who wins?
The attorneys, and they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Jan, can you have any serious reforms without reforming this whole area? For instance, you talk about the board actually going and meeting with the homeowners and saying, hey, can we work out a plan? Should there be some, maybe, I hate to come up with laws, and stupid laws like this, but we're at the point where there is no common sense in this country anymore. I mean, these board members have none, and they listen to the board, to the attorneys who, let's face it, they have their own agendas. And, but should there be, for instance, a guidelines that, you know what, folks, if you have people who are not paying, you have to go and sit and talk to them. I do not believe and agree with the attorneys that it is physically harmful and dangerous to meet up with someone who owes money, they're your neighbors. Go say, look, can we...
What they do? He has already financial problems. Do you think he shoots you? I mean, come on.
Well, that's what the attorneys tell the board members.
Oh, yeah, but the attorneys tell a lot of things.
Exactly.
If the day is long.
Exactly.
You know, as well, what I always wonder about, they come and make it look like their personal opinion or personal legal opinion is a law. No, it's nothing. It's their personal opinion. And if you go to court with it and lose, you pay, not the attorney.
That's right.
You know, people have to understand that attorneys are professionals who make money selling their opinions. And the opinion may not be good. Otherwise, how come that the same provision in a law creates four different opinions from four different attorneys?
I disagree. I think the opinions are very good for the attorneys, but not necessarily for their clients.
No, because an attorney doesn't give you any guarantee that his opinion is any good.
Should any reforms also include cleaning up this hierarchy of payments? Because right now, the attorneys will say the first person to get paid is the attorney. If there's anything left, then you pay the interest. If there's anything left, you pay the penalties. If there's anything left, then you apply it to the actual assessment owed. So you never really get to the assessment owed. So the association's always left holding the bank.
I can tell you if it would be exactly the opposite, that the first thing to get paid is the assessment, which should be in the interest of the association and the interest of all the owners, which are the association as is. You know, then attorneys might take some different steps to get where they are. You know, they have a big interest to immediately go to foreclosure. Because don't forget, you know, a foreclosure action nets them about $5,000, give or take, right?
Okay.
What is the attorney really doing?
Nothing.
Telling his secretary, get on your computer, you know, file the form for this person, here's name and address, you know how it works, and that's it. You know, then the secretary types on the prepared form a few letters and a few numbers, and it may have taken 5 minutes, and out comes a huge legal bill. You know, hey, that's a cash cow. You don't want to give up, believe me. You know, but the problem is, you know, our laws now have here in Florida so-called safeguards, which are no safeguards. You know, they say, oh, now you have, before you file liens and foreclosures, you know, you have to inform the owner that he is late in his dues by certified mail 30 days in advance before you can file for lien and foreclosure. But the law doesn't say that the attorneys can't already add legal fees to this notice. So you find these first notices which already include $300 and $400 in legal fees, which gets the person who already has financial problems much deeper in the hole already. You know, that is the wrong thing. You know, stop telling people they can add legal fees on the first notice. Make it mandatory that the association is notifying their owners by certified mail 30 days in advance that there is an assessment still due, they have to pay it, but don't allow to add any kind of extra outrageous cost. You know, I'm not talking here about $20 late fees or something like that. I'm talking here $300, $400, $500 for writing this letter.
Yeah, just pushing the print button, as Frank says.
Yes, that's exactly it. And this is causing more foreclosures, believe me, because people who are in a financial bind get thrown over the edge if this extra has to be paid.
Jan, can any true reform include the statutory requirement that associations have to accept a check. What we're hearing from a lot of people is that they're trying to make payments. But because it does not include the fines and the interest rates and the attorney fees and all of that wonderful stuff, the associations are refusing to cash them. They refuse to accept the checks, which means that the original sum just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger instead of trying to whittle it down. It seems to me that they're creating a bigger problem.
Well, they sure do. And here comes the point. Any business, you know, if a customer has debt with a business, and this customer says, hey, look, here's $100, right? They would accept it in a heartbeat. But in association, here comes the attorney and tells these board members, and don't forget, many of these board members are not really qualified to do what they're supposed to do. They don't have the knowledge, they don't have the necessary education, they don't know, and they just plainly believe what this attorney is telling them. He tells them, oh, no. You know, if you accept this partial payment, you're in big doo-doo. You know, you can't do that. You know, don't do that, send it back. And these people just believe him or her. You know, that is the problem, and it's wrong. You know, if an owner comes and offers the association, let's say, a $200 check, that's $200 in the bank for the association.
Right.
In the bank, which is in an account which is anyway empty. You know, that is what we're seeing here. You know, it is, in my opinion, financial mismanagement.
And should this be codified? Should this be enforced? Should we have a law that basically will prevent the associations and the attorneys from pulling these stunts and actually protecting the homeowners?
Yes, there should be, and I can tell you why. You know, normally you would say, you know, we are a society of adults. We're not.
No. I agree with you. We're not.
I mean, we're not. You know, everybody wants to be babysitted. Everybody claims that everybody else is responsible but them. You know, we have a society where nobody wants to take on any responsibility. That means that more or less every little word has to be spelled out and clearly enough to not allow any kind of so-called interpretations, because interpretations is what's killing our associations. Because don't forget, these associations were originally formed, you know, to do common work, you know, do the landscaping and of the common property, you know, take care of the retention pond and, you know, these kind of things. Well, nowadays, you have associations where more than 50% of the budget goes to pay the attorney and the manager.
That stinks.
What's left for maintenance? Very little.
That's a big problem. Half of it goes to management, to the industry?
Oh, yes. Well, I had a condominium down south. They more or less 63% of their annual budget in 2007 were used to pay the manager and the attorney.
Wow.
And then they wondered that they didn't have money for necessary maintenance at the balconies.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but see, you have to realize why this concept is so flawed.
It's flawed because it's not working.
But see, what I'm trying to say is this system relies on board members who are making decisions. Now, a lot of these board members can barely look after their own finances. You know, they can't balance a checkbook. Now, suddenly, they are the treasurer of an association.
That's scary.
You know?
You're right, but it is scary.
But that is what happens daily. You know, yeah. I get a lot of emails a day, you know. Here comes a board member and says, look, you know, I got a petition from the owners. What's a petition?
Yeah, you told me about that.
You know, I mean, come on. That's 101.
That's basic stuff. Jan, one of the points that I wanted to talk about as well is an article that came out titled Forced to Give Up Your Condo. And this has to do with the ability to extinguish a condominium. And it was something, can you explain that a little bit? It was something that you were opposed to, and now, of course, the chickies are coming home to roost, and you're having big problems because of this.
Well, it was more or less, we adopted the eminent domain bill for condos. What it did is more or less that a majority of the owners or the interest in the condominium, the voting interest, could decide to dissolve the condominium. Okay.
Some people would say that's not such a bad thing.
Well, that's what some people said. And we agreed to it to the point if the condominium, for example, was destroyed by a hurricane or had serious construction problems. If then the majority would decide to dissolve and build new or rebuild or whatever, fine. But they added in this bill the provision that just for no reason given, a majority of the voting interest could dissolve the association. Okay. We said from starters that this is wrong, it is very dangerous, it will be abused, but, you know, hey, we don't wave the big campaign checks, you know. We just have a voice as a little dumb consumer who some legislators think we're anyway too dumb to know what we're talking about, so they ignore us. So last year, the Florida legislature passed the bill. It was called the Condominium Termination Bill. You know, fancy name. It's a fancy name for kicking people out of their homes. Because we have now the first two cases here in Florida where developers are using this to kick out owners who just bought.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because, see, here we have the bad real estate market in Florida. So the condo market is dead anyway. So these developers had problems selling the units. But in the meanwhile, they already had sold quite a few, but by far not the majority. So now they figure, oh, we can do something better with it, but in order to do that, we need to kick out the people who already paid. And they make them offers which are absolutely ridiculous, don't even cover what they paid for originally. And, you know, people put money into their units for improvements. All that doesn't count. They tell them, hey, take it or leave it or we kick you out. And in St. Petersburg, it actually happens. There's a lawsuit pending in the meanwhile. But all in all, people just will lose their homes and their life savings. You know, if you read the article, and I talked with some people down in Boca Raton, where it's done to people in the so-called Eden at Boca, these people more or less moved here to Florida, you know, used their retirement funds to buy these places and are now losing it. More or less these developers for greed are kicking them out of their homes. And our legislators allowed that to happen. You know, we told the governor, you know, Governor Bush initially in 2006, he vetoed the bill because he said this bill violates every private property right he knows. Last year it came back and our new governor, Charlie Crist, who was obviously kind of tempted to make everybody happy, he vetoed very few bills and this bill passed. And, I mean, we tried everything. The media had big reports. The news, you saw news report in TV about the danger of this bill. But nobody listened because the developer and the banks and everybody of special interest was behind the bill.
They paid, they bought a few legislators and they got their bill. In the article that that I have here, Forced to Give Up Your Condo, it sounds like this was a conversion from an apartment building, and they sold a few condos, and then they decided they were going to dissolve the condominium, and they were going to revert back to an apartment. And Pollock says, one of the guys here who's being interviewed says, "We're not kicking anyone out of their homes. They can live there forever. They just have to rent."
Well, it's kind of funny. First you buy the place.
And then you become a renter.
And then you get kicked out, but you are allowed to stay as a renter? I mean, come on. You know, if this would have happened in Russia or East Germany under communist regime, I would have understood. But, you know, I still thought this is the United States of America.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's not the only thing I was mistaken about, I guess.
Well, you know, like I said, when you enter into an HOA, you leave the American zone. I mean, it just is horrible. I think Donna Berger called it an unintended consequence.
Yes, and funny enough, they were exactly the same people who pushed the bill.
They're being hoisted by their own petards, as my husband would tell me.
Yeah, well, see, it's funny, you know, people always think, oh, it's the legislators' fault. Yes, it is, in a way. But don't ever forget, legislators don't write bills. These bills are given to them by people, by constituents, by special interests, by lobbyists, you name it, right? So, but then their name, the legislator's name, is attached to the bill. So in this case, it was Senator Stephen Geller who pushed this bill. But he didn't really push it. He had people behind him pushing it. But now that the bill turned out to be real bad and had these so-called unintended consequences, the same attorneys who pushed the bill are saying, oh, looky here, you know, actually, see, that's the legislator's fault, you know. And that is so pathetic. You know, if you do something wrong, then say so, period. You know, say, hey, we made a mistake, let's remedy the situation. But then blaming everybody else, and we talked about that earlier, taking on responsibility, that is not the way this society works, you know. So they need somebody to blame for the problem.
You made a good point that the legislators don't write the bills, that it's handed to them. They agree to carry the bills, and the special interests do it. We've seen it here. The special interests have bought and own a number of Virginia legislators, but it's not just in Virginia. It's across the country. And, Jan, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again now because I'll take every opportunity I can. You're right. You said that it's not the special interests money that's going to, you know, buy the elections. It's the actual votes that are going to get these legislators vote, you know, in office. Please, guys, if you're listening to this show, please take the time to find out who you're voting for. And if you don't vote, make a point of going to vote. And if you don't contribute to campaigns, do so. It doesn't have to be a whole lot, you know, $10, $25, $50, $100. A lot of $100 can offset.
Well, then I even go further.
And work on the campaigns.
Money is scarce, but help them with the campaign.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't cost you a dime to wave some signs. You know, to go, you see, I always wonder about America. You know, we Europeans do it a little different. Here in America, the people who are supporting a candidate go to their t- town hall meeting or campaign rally or whatever and wave a sign, vote for this guy. What? Wrong approach. You know, in Europe you do it the opposite way. You know, you want to be in favor of candidate A, you go to candidate B's campaign rally and wave a sign, don't vote for this guy. You know, because...
It's a negative.
Yeah, well, that creates a lot more attention than if they have 200 people waving a sign, vote for Max. Hey, what's the deal? You know, but if you have 30 people there, don't vote for Max. Believe me, the media will pay attention, and that is what counts a lot more than the $50 bill to the campaign.
And you're absolutely right. But again, having worked on the campaign, I know that it costs money to have phone lines. It costs money to print the papers and things. But we definitely, I mean, a successful campaign relies greatly on volunteers. So volunteer your time. Find out who the candidates are. Find out what they stand for. Find out who Jan is working with from CCFJ. And go and donate a few hours to their campaigns and stand there. Go to the meetings. You know, when they present your bills, back them up.
What? The people have to understand. And, you know, my granddad told me, if you go don't vote, you lose your right to bitch about politicians.
That's true.
And, you know, not voting and, you know, oh, I don't like the guy anyway and I don't like this guy and so I don't go vote. Wrong approach. You know, with not voting, you exactly vote for the person you dislike most.
That's right.
You know, and people have to understand it. And that is one of the problems. You know, I mean, the election system is anyway bad in this country because more or less they put their districts in a way that only one party can win this district. That's why you see so many districts where only one candidate is running for office. They're more or less elected by default. You know, the voter doesn't even have a say on voting for a candidate because the other party has already given up on this district because it was done that way that only the one party can win. So this is wrong. You know, every district should have two or more candidates so the people have a choice. You know, otherwise, why do you see districts where, you know, 19% of the voters only come to vote? Because most of the other thing, why should I go? Why should I bother?
Why should I bother? Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And you stayed through all of these phone cuts and everything. Good stuff. I hope many people listen to you and absorb some of the stuff that you're saying because there's a lot of wisdom there.
Well, thanks for having me, Shu. It was fun like always. And, you know, if the whole problems in our world would exist from a few telephone cuts, that would be the easy way to deal with it.
I'll remember that the next time I'm ready to pull my hair out. Thank you, Jan, and thanks to all of you for joining us.
Don't go away.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.